And we're going to hear from God's word in Scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So, we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing, and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So, whether we are here, in this body, or away from this body, our goal is to please him. We must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body.
Amen. We thank God for his word to us today. Now, before I say some things about this, we're going to look through a PowerPoint, which is a bit of a sort of meditation on what the Bible says about what it means to be in Christ. When we believe in Jesus, it's not just a matter of us believing in him, it's a matter of us becoming part of who he is. So here are some Bible texts on that subject. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A few years ago, I decided it was time to sell some of my childhood toys. And when you talk to the expert on these things, I discovered they ask you three questions. The first one, what is it? Any ideas what the other two questions are? Okay, and the other one? Yeah, has it been played with? What condition is it in? But you're quite right. Is it in the box? I sold my old train set, which I must admit my dad put loads of effort into and I never particularly played with, but I think my dad enjoyed putting it together. And I had all these bits that he'd bought me, and there was a signal box, and he got a little bit excited when he saw this signal box. He said, "There's a signal box." He said, "The thing is," he said, "this signal box is worth quite a lot of money unless the chimney's broken." He said, "Every one of these I've ever seen, the chimney's broken. It's the weak point they break. And unfortunately for you, because you've broken it like everybody else did, it's not worth so much." And of course, they want the box. They want the container. What is the point of having toys if you don't take them out of the box? I don't know. But that's what these people want. I think sometimes, you know, we can make mistakes about ourselves. First of all, we worry too much about what sort of condition we're in. And secondly, we worry, to use language that Paul uses in this letter to the Corinthians, we worry about the box. We worry about us as the container of God's presence. What sort of condition are we in? Are we damaged? Are we broken? Can I tell you something? If today I had here, you'll have to imagine it because I definitely don't, but I want you to imagine here that I have a diamond in my hand. And I want you to imagine that this is an incredible diamond. Now, I am no expert in diamonds, but in my imagination, it's pretty big. It is formed absolutely perfectly. The light just reflects off it. It's the sort of diamond that would make anybody gasp. And I want you to imagine that an expert in diamonds who's got an awful lot of money came into the room today and said, "James, I would like to buy that diamond from you." Tell me, what's the question he wouldn't ask? He wouldn't ask about the box. Because when you find something that is incredibly valuable, you don't care what it's packaged in. Now, he might want to take it and present it nicely, but what he'd care about is the diamond. We're talking this morning about confidence. And the reason we're doing this, for those of you who haven't been to church the last few Sundays, last year I had a conversation with somebody who told me that there was a text in the Bible that seemed to make life harder for them rather than easier as a Christian. And I went to the leadership of the church and I said, "Right, tell me your texts that seem to make life harder for you rather than easier." And they gave me a list, and I've been preaching through some of them. The ones we've done so far are all on the church website. But one of the ones that was on the list was the text that we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about being completely confident. And the comment was, well, basically, you know, I don't feel completely confident. I feel doubt. I find it difficult to be confident in Jesus. And it's almost like when I look at that text, it almost sort of condemns me rather than encouraging me. So let me say at the outset, there is not a commandment here that says thou shalt be completely confident. There is no order here that says, if you have any doubts at all today, you are in big trouble. It's not, we don't come to God all the time being completely confident. In fact, any skill that is worth picking up is going to take some work. I'll get back to that in a sec, but let me get back to my diamond idea. Earlier on in this letter, Paul has spoken about us, and he says, God has given to us spiritual treasure. But he puts that spiritual treasure in jars of clay. God doesn't care about the box. God doesn't care about the packaging. What God wants to do is to put his treasure within us. So that regardless of who we are, regardless of what we're like, there is great treasure. So I can look at, who doesn't mind being picked on today? You know, somebody be a volunteer. I won't be nasty to you. I just need to use some random person as an illustration. Sue, okay, Sue, come out the front a sec. Okay. You're brave, Sue. No, not really. No, it's okay. I'm not. Right, tell us all your sins. No, no, we won't do that. No.
No. I'm the biggest sinner, God.
Right, okay. But you sometimes think, was this such a good idea? But okay. Now you look at Sue today. Now don't answer this, but you might have opinions about what she looks like. You might have opinions about the clothes that she's wearing. You might have opinions about things that you've seen Sue do. You might think, oh, you know, there's that great thing that Sue did for me. There was that time she was really nice to me. She was really sweet to me. She was really helpful. There might be times that you're thinking, whoa, I remember that time when Sue didn't do so well. Yeah. But the thing is that that's all packaging. Yeah. What matters about Sue is the thing that we're not seeing with our eyes at the moment, but I'm sure Sue would agree is the most important thing about her, which is the presence of God inside her, that God has given you his Holy Spirit, that God has forgiven you, that God has brought you into a new relationship. Yeah. And therefore, regardless of the box, regardless of the packaging, Sue this morning is incredibly valuable. Do you feel affirmed, sister, this morning? Do you feel affirmed by that? You're with me. You're with me on that, yeah? And other people as well here, if they're believers in Jesus, they are incredibly valued today, not because of what they look like, not because of what they've done. That's all packaging. What matters is what's on the inside. We have a spiritual treasure that's put in a clay pot. And clay pots are weak. Clay pots easily get broken. And we are weak, and we easily get broken. You know, the value in me today is because God has placed his presence inside me, just as it is for Sue. Now, I might walk out of here this morning and do something really stupid. I might find, you know, I don't know, we use that call to worship. It says, don't get angry. And you think, oh dear, you know, I might go out and I might get angry and I might behave in a way that's not so good. I might have to face up to the fact that, you know, my body isn't working quite perfectly as many of us in the church have had to do. But that's not what's important. If we're talking about confidence, we don't sing, I have confidence in confidence alone, yeah? What we're saying is, I have confidence in Christ, and I have confidence in who he is. Right, do you want to sit down now, Sue?
Yeah.
I mean, I could have brought anybody who believes in Jesus out to make that point today, but I think some of us need to hear that today. You know, I probably bang on about this too much, but I think it often needs to be said. It's not about whether you're good enough. It's not about whether you have performed well. Now, if we're talking about confidence, when Paul talks about his complete confidence in God, I suggest that instead of seeing this as something that's a command that we need to obey, my suggestion is that we see it as a skill that we can learn, that we gradually learn what it is to be confident. Do you know, have you ever seen anybody who's got a fantastic skill at somebody? I mean, for me, you know, I watch Brian May playing guitar. I mean, I just wish that I could do it. And, you know, and he's one of those guitarists, and he gets up on the stage, and he plays. You know, he plays that amazing solo from Bohemian Rhapsody or whatever. And it just looks so effortless, doesn't it? He's just sort of playing. He almost sometimes hardly looks as if he's even engaged at all in doing it. But I'll tell you what I know. And I know this not because I've interviewed him or spoken to him. I know it because it's how it works. That to get that good is never effortless. To get that good, you have to practice, practice, practice. You have to work through the point when your fingers ache. You have to work through the point where your fingers just won't go where they should. You have to work through the point where you've played that chord for the 50th time and still the fifth string's muffled. And you think, I'm never quite going to be able to make that shape properly. When we see somebody like that playing, actually a better analogy, I mean, one of the things that's happened recently is Andy Murray announcing that he has to retire soon. You know, how much score our nation put onto Andy Murray when he eventually won Wimbledon, the first Brit for, I can't remember the years, but it was something ridiculous. And you look at him in the court, and he's so skillful, and he's so good. And even though he was up against extraordinary tennis players, he still managed to make world number one. But what we're realizing now is the sheer cost that he had to go through to get there. Yes, he had natural ability, and that is important, but it was work, work, work. And he's now got to the point where he's saying, my body just can't do this anymore. I just can't take the pain. At what cost did he get to world number one? And for us, looking at what Paul is saying, yes, I do see somebody who is incredibly confident in God, but I also see somebody who has gone through a whole load of training and a whole load of difficulty to get this. And I think that is why he was so keen to point out what matters is not my box, my outward packaging. What matters is the treasure that God has put in me. We could have read at least 2.5 chapters of 2 Corinthians to make the point today. But here is Paul. This is just one chapter before these verses about confidence. He says, we don't lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. He says, I'm wasting away. You know, what's being done to me, he said, is taking it out of me. It's knocking the stuffing out of me. And you know, being a Christian, seeking to follow Jesus, will often be like that. You will often feel that the stuffing is being knocked out of you. You will often feel that the effort that is required is more than you are able to give. And sometimes, almost like Andy Murray, well, this body just can't seem to take much more of this. Into chapter 5, he says, while we are in this tent, referring to his body, referring to his packaging, he says, we groan and are burdened. I got asked this week for the new directory, what text do you want to put into, on the front page of the church directory for 2019? I would not seriously suggest we groan and are burdened. It would be a good text to do it. But actually, maybe in a way it is. We need to listen to the heroes of our faith. We need to listen to people like the Apostle Paul saying, I'm someone who groans. I'm somebody who feels I'm carrying a heavy burden. And the reason that I'm so confident in God is not because God always takes my groanings away from me and God always lifts my burdens and makes life easy for me. It's that I've discovered that God is with me all the way through these things. A few verses on from that, we live by faith, not by sight. Paul says, I'm not always seeing the things that I am confident with. You know, I mean, we were singing a few moments ago, you know, I believe in the resurrection that we shall rise again. And yet, I and many of you have spent a lot of time recently with somebody or some people who are dying and we see their body fading away. And we think, well, how could that be? And yet God is there. And yet God speaks to us of resurrection. And God says, I'm the specialist in raising people from the dead. One day it will be by sight. One day it won't be just by faith. Calls us to have confidence in him. And then a few verses after after the verses that Dave read to us from Scripture, Paul starts to write about the things that he's going through. And there's a whole load of them. And some of them were down to the fact that he was being persecuted at the time. But there's one or two things on the list that really strike me. Hard work, he says. Yep. I've learned to be confident when the work is hard. And here's one, sleepless nights. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you had a sleepless night this week. You might not want to share that. But I'm sure that if I did, that quite a few hands would go up. Did you think that if you were confident in Jesus, you'd never have a sleepless night? That's packaging. We will have sleepless nights. We will have the nights when we worry and when we just can't seem to make sense of what is going on around us. There's one other thing he mentioned, and I've taken my finger off the page. I've lost where it is. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he talks about hunger. You know, there are people around us who are going hungry today. People who need to use the facilities of food bank or something else. So what's the lesson? How do we get to a position of confidence when we're going through all of this? Well, Paul tells us that what we need to do is to fix our eyes not on the things that we see, but on the things that are eternal. That's where we've got to look. Most of the time, our gaze is on what's happening around us. I feel unwell. I'm worried about this. I've got this job to do. The Word of God, through Paul, tells us to take a break from that, to start focusing on the things that are beyond, to start focusing on the treasure that God has put in us. We do not learn quickly how to do this. We don't learn quickly how to get to complete confidence, but that's the way to do it. And just like a guitarist learning to play the guitar or a tennis player learning to play tennis, we have to learn. It's like we have to take up the instrument. We have to practice. We have to say, I'm going to make this effort of focusing on the things that really matter. And Paul tells us to focus on the resurrection. He says, that's what I believe in. He's saying, this body of mine, he says, it's wearing out. It can't take much more. But there is a resurrection body. Right at the beginning of this letter, he talks about the horrible things he's been through. And he says that through that, he learned one lesson. He learned that God raises the dead. And if today we come and we feel like death warmed up, we come to the one whose speciality is, I raise the dead. And he did it for Jesus. And if anyone is in Christ, he is or she is a new creation, and the old has gone and the new has come. And that's who we are. Let's focus on these things. It's the reason that Christians decided long ago that Sunday was a good day to come and worship, because it was Resurrection Day. It was the day when God started something new in the world that is still going along today. The other thing that he tells us in terms of our motivation a bit later on, he talks about all the things that he's doing, and he says, God's love compels us. This man has been completely bowled over by the love of God. So despite everything that's happening in his life, he knows that God's love is bigger than he is. And then he tells us to learn to long for the future. You know something? I don't want to die yet. I've got things I want to do. I've got family. I've got a wife. I've got children. I've got a grandchild. Do I want to see Izzy grow up? You bet I do. But I think of Izzy's other granddad who died shortly after she was born. Age 58 he was. Somebody who trusted the Lord very much, really, really loved the Lord. And I struggle. And part of me wants to go to the Lord and say, Lord, he'd have been a great granddad. He's very different to me. We could have made a great team. But it's not to be. And yet the word of God comes back to me and says, it is better to be with Christ. The word of the Lord says that what is unseen, what is eternal, is more important than the things of this world. I struggle with that. But if I'm going to have confidence in God, then I'm looking forward to the resurrection day. And I believe that on that day, all the love, all the godlikeness, if that's a word that we've ever seen, is going to be drawn together. And it's going to become something fantastic. I believe in the resurrection that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. As it said in that Bible reading, it's not just going to be some sort of spirit or ghost floating around. It's going to be the new creation that Jesus started. And just the last thing that Paul wants us to notice, he says that he's convinced that when Christ died, everyone died. And do you know what that means? It means every one of us is in the place that we can receive resurrection. Next week, the pool will be open and we will act it out. Death to an old way of life. Rising up to a new. Rising into the resurrection of God. This is what God promises to those who believe. This is what he tells us to be confident in. This is what he tells us to learn confidence in. So next week we celebrate. If you haven't been baptized, I thoroughly recommend it. Yeah, you can believe in Jesus without doing it, but this is the way to celebrate it. This is the way to act it out. So, in terms of confidence, there's going to be work to do to get there. But if in the meantime you think you're not as confident as you should be, just remember, it's the treasure inside that ultimately matters, not the box. Before we sing, anybody else want to applaud that message? You can applaud the Lord if you like. You can applaud the Lord if you like. Encore. Oh, you wait till you hear what I've got to say next week. Yeah, if you've got any excuses about baptism, that's what I'm going to talk about. I've asked Mike and Helen to read some of the verses that come after the Bible reading we had. They're going to do it between them. Let's see if we can drink in the verses that they're reading to us.
We entreat you on behalf of Christ.
Be reconciled to God.
For our sake, he made him to be sin.
Who knew no sin?
So that in him
we might become the righteousness of God.
As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain, for he says it is an acceptable time, I have listened to you.
And on the day of salvation, I have helped you.
See, now is the acceptable time.
See, now is the day of salvation.
We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry.
But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way.
Through great endurance.
In afflictions.
Hardships.
Calamities.
beatings,
imprisonments,
riots,
labours,
sleepless nights,
hunger,
by purity,
knowledge,
patience,
kindness,
holiness of spirit,
genuine love,
truthful speech,
and the power of God,
with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand
and for the left,
in honour
and dishonour,
in ill repute
and good repute,
we are treated as impostors
and yet are true,
as unknown
and yet are well known,
as dying
and see, we are alive,
as punished
and yet not killed,
as sorrowful
yet always rejoicing,
as poor
yet making many rich,
as having
nothing and yet possessing everything.